Hello, and welcome to the podcast for all of us who love to read about the same two idiots over and over. We talk to the authors and the fans of the brilliant world of Dramione Fix and learn how they got here. It's all about what I like to call the Dramione effect. A quick disclaimer before you get into this episode, we talk about explicit rated fix on this podcast and are known to use vulgar language, discuss sex, drugs, and other possibly triggering items. So as always with fanfiction, mind your tags. You can find all the relevant info about this episode in your show notes. Now sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to the Dramione Effect. Our special guest is All of the Lights 11. I have had this author on my TBR for quite a while. One day on TikTok, I saw a little rec video. I was like, oh, shoot, like that name sounds familiar. And then I'm also in this lovely Discord community called the Dramione Writer Society. And what do you know? There she was. All of the Lights 11 showed up. And that fic was 5 months until summer. And let me tell you, I was hooked. It is so good. An amazing fic about, you know, 6 year Draco and Hermione. I was like, what else is there? And turns out it's actually part of a series. So I was like, I got to get All the Lights on here today and share this amazing work with you guys. So welcome, All of the Lights.
Thank you. I am happy to be here.
On the Dramione Effect, we always want to know a little backstory. When did you start reading fan fiction? Like, what was your first encounter?
You know, I'm really kind of a newbie. I still consider myself a newbie. I started probably fall of 2022. I stumbled across an article that was promoting All the Young Dudes in the Marauders universe.
Oh, yes.
And I, you know, the title of the article was something like the Harry Potter fanfic that broke the internet. And I was like, well, that can't be true because I've never heard of it. And
right?
So I dove in and it was 500-something thousand words. And I was like,
it's
oof.
A beast.
So it sat on my TBR for a while. And finally I was at a swim meet, you know, for my stepdaughter. I was just kind of waiting, thinking I could maybe read something here while I kill time in between, you know, in between events. And I could not put it down. I was absolutely floored. I'd never read anything so captivating. I'm a big reader. I consume insane amounts of content my whole life. I have. And I do read quickly. You know, I know that I can kind of crank through something like that, but I could not put it down. I was talking to my best friend about it, who is not part of the fandom, but I was like, have you heard about this thing? And she goes, no, but I've heard about a really, really big other story called Manacled. And thus that began into the Dramione world. We kind of traded recommendations at that point, and I devoured Manacled. I devoured everything I could get my hands on until I hit the end of my first whip, which I didn't even know what that was. I was so confused. And then my brain wouldn't shut off.
Uh-huh.
And so I just laid there. I would lay there in bed at night like, well, what's the next scene going to be though? Like, but what, where, how, okay, what? And finally I sat down and I was like, well, if I could write that dialogue, what would I want it to say? And so it kind of became, I never tried to write anything before, and it kind of became a creative writing exercise of like, well, could I even do it to my own satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I've been reading for, you know, decades, and can I actually turn that into something that I would want to read? So I didn't set out to do it. It just kind of happened. You know, I was able to kind of pick up that from basically a prompt in my head of like, what would you do from here? And then I started writing, you know, kind of my own original stuff from the beginning on forward. And my first one was Memory Lane, which is a Voldemort Wins AU that's kind of loosely based on Westworld, where
I loved Westworld.
Resistance fighters were captured and held captive for the entertainment of, you know, the now ruling regime. And Draco's got a very difficult, hard-earned redemption arc, you know, to free Hermione. And, and of course, in his mind, because he's very tunnel visioned, in his mind, the war is over. The war is not over. There's plenty of resistance happening still.
Right.
You know, and so that was my first original. And I just kind of kept going from there. I started writing 5 months until summer when AO3 went down last fall.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't mean to bring up trauma here, but that was extremely traumatic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I had nothing else to do really. And I just,
that's like losing your security blanket as a child.
It was wild. I've never seen, and again, I'm pretty new to the fandom and I'm kind of flailing internally and I'm watching the whole internet flail. And I was just thinking, okay, well, I need to kill some time, apparently.
Right.
You know, I got a little bit of runway here. So I just wanted to write something that was going to be short and light and fun and spicy, you know, really very minimal plot. Because up to that point, everything I'd done had been very plot intensive. And I wanted something that was just a little easier to vomit out.
And you turned it into...
And it was such an accident because I got to the end of 5 months. You know, it's the classic virginity trope where she sets out to lose it and she asks him, and it's been done 100 million times. But at the very end, I kind of ended it not intending to be saucy about it, but everyone's like,
What?
what? And so it didn't take a whole lot to convince me to kind of do the same short flip from his point of view. You know,
Yes.
and carry it on a little bit further in the timeline. But when I was
Yeah.
about halfway through, they're 30,000 words each, right? They're not
Yeah.
huge. But I was about halfway through that one and I realized, like, I'm gonna need to keep going. Crap. So I really didn't, and I'm not a great outliner anyway. I'm the first to admit it. I'm very much a it's gonna drag me where it wants to go kind of
Yeah.
storyteller. And yeah, so 5 months until summer became 3 months left. And of course, the countdown is to the start of the war, basically, you know,
Right.
Dumbledore's death. And
Yeah.
then it becomes, you know, they're out of time. At the end of that 6 year, they're officially out of time. And it's a full rewrite and Horcrux hunt and all of the chaos that comes along with it. And I'm still working on it. Nothing's ever taken me this long before, but I've also never written anything this long before.
Right.
So it hit a couple of milestones for me, both with complexity and the length. But it updates every week. So I'm still pushing it out there.
She's still hurt. She's still churning.
I am.
Yeah. So I picked it up not knowing there was anything else. I was
There
like,
wasn't
oh, this
supposed to
is,
be.
yeah.
I'm
Oh, this
sorry.
is cool. No. Are you kidding? Don't. I mean, keep it going. I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. So I read it and I was like, okay, first of all, I love the play between the two of them in it because it is so like he has no idea like what the fuck she's doing. It's just the funniest thing. Just the play between the two of them, obviously, that forced proximity being pushed together because of their academics. You know, being the tops of their class. So they're pushed together into all these different classes. And then her realizing, like, it starts with her realizing that she wants to lose her virginity before the war starts. Like, she's on a fucking mission. It's so funny because she's so clumsy about it.
Yeah, she is. She's, you
You
know,
know, like, it's.
I love writing Hermione, who knows what she wants. And even
She
if
knows.
she's still got her own insecurities like we all
Yes.
do, and she
Right.
still feels kind of awkward and uncomfortable, but she's like, this is important. If the war comes and I'm captured, things might not be good for me, and
Right.
I would like to own this experience on my own terms,
Yes.
you
And
know? But she's still very awkward about how to go about
she's
it.
so silly. Like, yeah, the almost, like that almost happened. Like, how is, you know, sort of like,
Yeah.
you know, with her
Well, you know, the first
encounters.
times are terrible. First
Yeah.
times
Oh,
are usually
yeah.
terrible. And so, yeah,
Exactly.
it's that was actually, I write a lot of my own personal stories into my work, as I'm sure I'm not alone in that.
No.
Her sort of very closely mimicked my first time. I had a sort of. I didn't know that it was really a sort of until I had done it properly. And I was like, oh, that feels different.
Yeah, that's a
That is
whole
not
different
this. That is
experience.
not the same thing as what happened before. So things like that, I love putting things like that into my work because while they are embarrassing and sometimes confusing at the time, like what just happened here, with a
Yeah.
little distance, they're pretty much always funny.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love being able to pour into my writing of like these things are kind of hilarious if you just step back for a minute.
Well, and it brings that humanity to the characters. Like you're not just writing them as like cardboard. They're not one dimensional. It's not like, oh, and then they went
Right.
here. You know, it's like that humanity. Like that's one of the things that really drew me into your writing. 'Cause the
Thank
more that
you.
I've read it, the more I'm like, I like these people. Like
Thank you.
I want to hang out with them. Like they're fun, they're light. I mean, at times they're light,
At
at other times
times.
they're not so light. And it gets heavy, some heavy shit happens, but you know, in any good story that's kind of the arc, you know, you have that.
Right, it's development.
But
It's development.
the way that you wrote Hermione, like even across different stories, like her in, you know, 5 months is obviously that awkward kind of teenagery, like trying to, she knows what she wants. She's so headstrong and she knows that like everybody's kind of counting on her and like things are, she's a part of the thing that's going to happen. And so she wants to control it, but she's also just a teenager who has like insane hormones and it finds Draco extremely attractive.
Of
So, like
course, as we
that,
all would,
yeah, duh.
because
Like
that's why we're here.
that part of it was so great. And then you get into like your other fix, like what it means to live, which is a whole entirely different
Very
world.
different, very different.
Very different world. And I also loved that version of her, which is a, she's very in control in that version. She very much has everything she thinks wrapped up and very tightly held together, which of course, like, you know, once you get reading the fic, you kind of realize, oh, that's an illusion. Like, don't really have it all together, babe, but nope. Nice try.
But that's relatable too, because I think most of us try for that, and most exactly. of us are probably failing at it to some degree. What It Means to Live is, you know, it's set 10 years roughly after the war. So they're solidly adults, and it's a very different mental dynamic too. And just like I said with 5 months, I can't help but write Hermione as a bold, kind of confident person. Even mm-hmm. though she's got her own insecurities and her own flaws, of course, you know, she still sets out to do what she wants to do, and she's not going to be bulldozed by somebody. Like, I feel in canon, a lot of times they just kind of smile and nod at Hermione.
Yeah.
And it just always drove me kind of crazy, because she's not a doormat, but they still try to bulldoze her all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like it. I don't like she's so often written that she's just completely incompetent with style and hair. And I'm like, she's a grown woman. She's figured out how to tame her hair.
Right.
She's old enough. There's been trial and error. She's a persistent witch.
She's not she's not a first year anymore. Just trying to get her shit together.
Right. Yeah. Let her grow and evolve. She can be smart and pretty and stylish if she mm-hmm. wants to be. And so that's mm-hmm. how I tend to write her. Some people like it. Some people like her more like canon, but that's why we write.
Right.
You know, there's a wealth of opportunities. You can read whatever you want to read.
Exactly.
Whatever Hermione,
I was just going
to
say,
you're
there
looking
are
to find, you
plenty.
Can find her.
There are plenty. Yeah. You just work your tags. Like, there are plenty.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
find any Hermione you want to find. She's out there.
The way that she came off even in 5 months, where she kind of was that awkwardness, she still had a knowing about her. She still mm-hmm. knew that's what she wanted and that she was going to go after it. And she kind of was like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. Then Draco comes into the scene with a completely different, he had a totally, you know, totally different idea. She was just like, well, I'm just going to lose my virginity and then that's going to be great. And he's like, no, baby, you're mine. Like,
yeah, we're going to start from the beginning on purpose, because I'd like to, but also I'd kind of like you to like to.
Yeah.
And in the end, of course she does.
Right.
You know, he's like, you're the one that keeps trying to skip all the steps. I'm the one trying to have all the stuff in the middle, all the good stuff in the middle.
Yeah, you know? Like from that first thing in the library where she was like, I want you to shag me. And he's like, okay, why? First of all, why? Why me? Because what? Like,
right.
I mean, what? And I want to shag you, but I'm not going to tell you that right now, because like, that's not how I roll. But also, I'm going to make you wait, because, you know, that's kind of like how I do things. Like, you're going to be doing this on my timeline now, because we're going to do it correctly.
Right. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right.
Right.
You know, we're going to make sure we actually check all the boxes first, which of course makes it fun to read as well.
Oh yeah. And that was real fun to read. Thank you. Thank you for that.
And then I did a flip. I don't know if you've seen Private Tutor yet, because that one's still posting. That one's not, I've fully written it, but it's posting every Friday, but it's the flip where he's the virgin.
Oh, that'll be fun.
My whole thought was, no one is a sex god at 18. No one is. Like, we all read these stories, like 5 months until summer, he's an absolute master at this, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But no one is actually a sex god at 18. So knowing that, and knowing that sex is actually funny and embarrassing and sometimes kind of gross.
Right.
Like, you know, let's have real experiences. And so that's what I wanted to do with Private Tutor, was let's show the extremely embarrassing side of sexual exploration.
Okay. It's just
so
moving
I humiliate
up. It's moving
him.
Up my list.
I humiliate him a good bit. I'm very nice to him. I love Draco, by the way. He's precious in Private Tutor. He is so innocent. The angle is that she still set out to lose her virginity before the war. And this is an 8th year story, by the way. They're a little older.
Okay. Okay.
But so she still set out to lose her virginity before the war. And she, you know, her first experience was terrible. And she's like, well, that can't be what this all the fuss is about.
Right.
So she sets out to do it a whole bunch more. And so she's owning her sexuality on her own terms of, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do until this is what everybody's built it up to be. And so they get in their 8th year, they get paired up together in the name of inter-house unity or some such rot.
Of course,
and
some such rot.
And Draco, I felt like it was very natural that maybe he hasn't had a lot of experience with girls.
Right.
You know,
well,
he was
I mean, he's been
Pansy
fucking tortured for like 10
well,
years.
Right. He was with Pansy in 5th year. And then, you know what? 6th year was kind of a wash. It was pretty miserable
that was
for him.
Pretty shitty.
And then, you know, their 7th year was basically active war. And
right.
he was a death eater. Like, you know, so when would he have had the opportunity to mm-hmm. sleep his way through the castle, unless I went the icky route where he was doing it when they were all 14, which I try to not really,
no.
you know, that was a if. in private tutor, they're in their eighth year. She's confident and competent and whatever. And he is just kind of a social pariah, you know, after the war. He's just kind of trying to keep his head down, but his, you know, his self-esteem is taken a pretty big hit, and he's got a debilitating crush on Daphne Greengrass, and he's basically just a, you know, a sad kind of shell of who he used to be. And Hermione just basically takes pity on him. She's like, he's really fit. Like, I think all he does is work out because he's got nothing else to do. So she's kind of thirsty because, you know, why not? And she's like, look, I'll if you want to know how to snog a witch, I'll give you some pointers, I guess. And it obviously snowballs heavily from there. It clocks in at just under 90,000 words. It's fully pre-written, but
Oh
we have
my
had a
gosh.
lot of fun embarrassing Draco and then alternate embarrassing Hermione at some point too, because she's not immune. You know, sex is messy and gross, and everybody learns it weird things at different times, and it's been a lot of fun.
I love it. Yeah, I just made a note over here, yeah, to put that on the list too, 'cause oh my
It's
gosh,
egregiously
embarrassing.
spicy also.
Yeah,
The
well, I mean,
ratio,
that's
it's
what we're here
spicy.
for.
Oh, apparently that's what I write,
I mean,
so.
I love a good fluff story, you know? Like those are nice, but also like come on, give me something to work with.
It's been a lot of spice lately. I've actually been taking on more of the kind of individual fest and challenge pieces, deliberately trying to write things that are a little more innocent and just creative writing. Things that, you know, if my tween stepdaughter were to stumble on them, you know, I wouldn't have a heart attack. So I'd like to kind of balance what I write a little bit, but there's no denying that the spicy stuff is definitely the most popular.
No, it's definitely the most popular. And for those who are really, really good at it, it's so much fun to read. Like, you
I
know,
have to agree. The ones that I love reading the most, anytime something new comes out, I'm like, ooh, what do you have for me today?
Right? Thank you. Great.
Exactly.
Oh, well,
Yay. What
yeah.
a Tuesday.
Perfect.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. So I wrote on my notes about 5 months. I was like, was this just purely an exercise in smut writing that turned into a really good story?
Yeah,
Yes.
it was. It was. I will say, out of time, once it goes out of time, is plot driven. There is definitely spice in it, but it is a solid 85% plot. Very unlike the two that led into it, which were, you know, 85% not plot.
Smut.
So, yep.
Yeah, those, I mean, there's I'm in, I think I'm like halfway through 3 months left.
Okay.
Maybe not even halfway through. They're so good. I just
His
love
jealousy
I
starts to
love,
come out,
yes,
his
bad.
possessiveness, you know.
Yeah,
Yep.
it's the hoarding dragon has shown up. For sure. Anytime anybody touches her, and I love it. You called Finch Fletchley Finchy. I thought it was, I love when they get nicknames. Like when anybody, there was one fic, and I don't remember what it is. I think it's Divination for Skeptics, but I don't quote me on that. Somebody in there calls him Lucy Jr., and I died.
Oh, funny. I haven't seen that one. Oh, that would make me laugh.
That is my
That is
favorite
funny.
Draco nickname because he was being an absolute asshole. And they're like, okay, Lucy Jr., and I fucking died.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. And speaking of Lucy's and, you know, the Malfoy line, I want to talk about Septimus.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's talk about Septimus Malfoy. So to give a little depth on this, in What It Means to Live, at one point, Draco and Hermione go on a little vacation, like a mini vacation, and they go to Amsterdam. They find this wizarding hotel. And they go to this wizarding hotel, and lo and behold, who is the portrait in the hall? It's ba 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 motherfucking Septimus Malfoy. Draco's what, great great grandfather or just great grandfather?
I was going to go three grades,
Yeah.
roughly. You know,
Something
pretty
like
far
that.
back there. Yeah,
Something
a
like
good long
that.
ways
But
back.
anyhow, this freaky deaky Malfoy is hilarious. You wrote him. He is a mess. He is so
Oh, he was an
funny.
accident. He snuck up on me. This is back to like things just drag me along and I'm kind of powerless to resist it. Septimus grew an absolute voice of his own, extremely inappropriate voice.
Oh,
One of
it's
the tags.
so funny.
One of the tags on that fic is inappropriate portraiture, and that is
Yes.
Septimus.
Oh
Yes.
my God.
And Draco is absolutely horrified, not just that Septimus looks like his dad, so he keeps imagining his father saying all of these sexual things.
Yep.
Also the implication that maybe Septimus met his wife, you know, Draco's other ancestor in
Yep.
Amsterdam in the spicier side of town. And
Right. So,
Hermione's like,
yeah.
what does it matter? But Draco's mind is just stuck of like, this is my ancestor. Oh my God.
They've created my line. I come from a line of deviants. Like,
Basically, Septimus is an adventurous sort and prefers when
okay.
everyone
That's.
else is having adventurous sex also.
Oh, the whole thing about ports and like the nautical The nautical references to sex. Oh my
Oh.
God. He cracked me up so bad. And it was at this like this moment of where like lightheartedness was definitely needed. Like
It
Hermione
gets
is
the story
real
gets angsty. It's meant to be a
she's
funny
real.
story, but there's
It
some
is.
angst.
It
Yeah,
is.
there's some
I did
angst.
love how you didn't really take it to like the extreme of angst where like everybody's like pulling their hair out. Like they were having moments, but it didn't go for like chapter after chapter after chapter.
No,
Like
my
you didn't.
intent with that story was to make a funny, lighthearted story. There just had to be some kind of conflict
Right.
and they, you know, an inner angst. Most of the angst is inner in Hermione. The
Right.
curse that she got hit with 10, 15 years prior, you know, is still causing her trouble. So that's the, you know, that's the background for anyone who hasn't read it. And she's trying to figure out how to cure it on her own, and it's weighing on her severely. So, you know, everyone around her wants to help, but they don't know the full story, and she's keeping things too stubborn for too long, you know, all to herself. So, but in general, the story was meant to be a very kind of heartwarming ensemble cast, big pansy friendship, you
Yeah.
know, just kind of a big, it's not a party at all. Well, the last chapter might be kind
Eh.
of a party.
I think
But
I
you
mean
know,
there's parties. There's many
there's
parties.
parties. There are.
It's an ever-evolving party because I found that whole group dynamic to be so fun. Like
It was so much fun. I loved writing it.
I love when the snakes show up. I will say it in every single podcast that I record. And so if you're sick of hearing me say it, too bad. I love when the snakes show up. Yeah, I love the pansy, like you just said. I love a pansy Hermione friendship. I love a snarky Ginny Weasley. I love when she hooks up with Blaze. I love silly Theo. And the banter and the interaction between Theo and Draco and Blaze in this is so good because they are like frat boys. They just beat the shit out of each other. They do disgusting things to each other. They prank each other. They say horrible things. The beginning of it, like how silly and pranky they are. The beginning when they push Draco through, like the whole beginning of the whole thing, like with the Draco and Hermione relationship, when they push him through the flue in the chair, tied with a bow.
Yeah, his crush has been so debilitating for so many years, and he won't do a damn thing about it. And finally, his friends have had enough, and they're like, you know what? We're going to act on this even if you won't. And so they hand deliver him right to Hermione, who's going through plenty on her own that no one knows about but her.
Right.
But she walks out, and there's Draco Malfoy in her living room tied to a chair. She's like, what?
What? With a with a
What?
bro
What
a
is
yeah,
this?
a chair with a broken leg with Pansy and
Yep.
Theo and Blaze all just completely disheveled and messy, and it is so silly in its idea, but in its actual execution, it's pretty fucking brilliant because of the way that you pushed Theo's button, like you push Theo's button, you push Blaze's button, and then the way that Draco reacts to those buttons being pushed, and then to get him there where they're like finally they're so fed up they just stun his ass and tie him to a chair.
You're
Like
going, buddy. You're
we're
going.
not dealing with your dumb ass anymore, and it sets off the whole chain of events for the rest of the thing. It was actually the best thing that they could have done.
Draco and Hermione both in that story need their friends' help to get where they're
Yes,
going. They're both
absolutely.
too stubborn, and both of them need the help of, you know, that ensemble cast around them to say, no, this is what you need to do. You're being dumb, and we need you to stop being dumb because we can't take it anymore. You know. And so his awakening happens at the beginning of the story. Her awakening happens closer to the end, you know, where she finally accepts help to come through with
Right.
the curse. And, you know, I don't mind saying curse gets handled. This is HEA, you
Right.
know. I'm
Yes.
not giving you a spoiler here. It's 1000% HEA. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's, you know, Draco's friends push him into the light in the beginning. Hermione's friends push her into it at the end. And in
Yeah.
the middle, there's just a whole lot of comprehensive meddling and, you know, bickering and hilarity
Yeah.
and adventurous sex that Septa disapproves of.
Yes. Oh my gosh. The adventurous sex part of it was so funny to me because they're both sexually experienced, obviously, and they're
Yes.
both so control freak. And so there's this dynamic between the two of them that kind of switches on and off. And it's not like it's almost like they're both switch. She's so in control of everything. And like she has her rules. And he like knows absolutely what he's doing. And so he's like, why don't you just like let me do it? And she's like, okay, like sometimes, but not now. Like,
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I set out to write it, my early sketches were that she would be a dominant to his submissive in the story. And I didn't end up writing it as overtly as that. You know, they just have a lot of adventurous sex. Sometimes he
Right.
proposes, sometimes she does, but they all come together because there was enough going on in the story already that I didn't want to bring that, you know, dominant submissive dynamic to it with a
Right.
name to it and
Right.
have to deal with the dynamics and the, you know, the terms, the boundaries and all
Yeah.
the different things that come into play with that.
Right.
And well, when I looked back at it, I was like, yeah, I did kind of intend to do that. And then it just didn't go that way. The story wrote itself, you know, like I said, I get dragged along. But I am actually, I don't know if anyone's mentioned it on your podcast yet, but there's a fest coming up for Sub Draco coming in June. And so
No.
I actually am getting to explore some of that dominant Hermione, submissive Draco stuff
Oh,
that
okay.
goes. Yep, I've written two stories for it so far. I've taken a third prompt, and
Wow.
someone needs to tell me to stop at some point.
No. You're not
Someone's
gonna
going to need
hear
to tell me to put the brakes on sooner
you're
or
not gonna
later.
hear that word here. I mean, oh, please stop writing our favorite things. Knock it off.
It's
No.
just more sex. Sex and more
Yeah,
sex.
thanks. That's fine with me, honestly.
Okay, well, good. Well, good.
One of my favorite non-sex smut scenes in the whole thing is obviously the amusement park.
Oh, my
That,
God, I had so much
oh,
fun.
taking them fish out of water and watching them all, because basically Hermione decides that because she has this curse, she feels like she's running out of time. Like she needs to do all these things and she wants to like do everything that makes her feel alive. And so that's kind of part of her relationship with Draco, like part of all of these things is she's trying to like smash life in. So, you know,
Yep,
kind of
new
coming back,
things.
yeah,
I want
coming
all
back
the
to
new
like
things.
what it means to live. Like, you know, you never know, like you could die tomorrow. So like just go out there and live. So she decides that she's going to take them all to the amusement park. Then Ginny tags along, which is a great addition because I love a sassy Ginny for sure. They're so much fun. And it kind of evens the girl-boy ratio, which is great. The funniest shit, like trying to get them all like rank, it's like herding cats.
Absolutely.
Like trying to get them all to go to the same thing. Like Pansy's like, hell no, I'm not doing that. Theo's like, I'm gonna vomit. Blaze has the biggest crush on Ginny, so he's just,
Trying
oh
to
God,
impress her.
oh God. Like,
Yeah, I'm
you
terrified,
know.
but I'm going to keep it to myself because I want to look
Yes.
cool.
Yes. And then the Draco Hermione relationship is very new. So they're kind of just, you know, tentatively kind of going into what they have, but their interaction at that park, like I visualized it immediately. I was like, oh, yes, I have
Oh, I had
been that
so much
person
fun
where you're
writing it.
at something with like the boy you have a crush on or your very new boyfriend, and there's that touchy feely, you know, when you're waiting in line or when he pulls her and she's sitting between his legs while he's sitting on like the banisters. Or I was like, oh, I have been there. Like I remember that feeling.
The new
Yeah.
relationship feeling is so precious, you know, that
Yes.
everything feels magical. You know, I
Yeah.
mean, Wizarding World aside, it feels like magic. You know, the guy you like is, you know, little fingers trailing up and down your arm or playing with your hair, and everything just feels perfect. It just feels
Yeah.
like that early flirtation is just something special.
And especially when they're doing that, they're feeling that, but they're also so in a different environment that they're not used to and they're not comfortable in. So it's like this trying to understand like the muggle world, like what's going on here? Why are we going and standing in line here when those guys over there, like what's wrong? So when he like figures out the fast pass thing, like how to
Right.
fake the
Yep.
fast pass.
Yeah, you know, she wants to go. She's never been.
Right.
Ginny wants to go because Arthur's talked about it and raved about the mechanics of
Yes.
muggle roller coasters. Oh my God, this is amazing. But she's never gotten to go. And so she's psyched. And they just drag the Slytherins along for the ride. And it is, I love putting them completely into something new. You know,
Yes.
not just what's this TV box, you know, but like
Yeah.
something totally immersive. Like, no, that's a gigantic steel contraption and they should be dying.
Right.
You trust that thing? You're gonna get on that? Muggles built that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just a lot of fun. It was so much fun to write.
Yeah, and I thought that was so funny. Like all the other ones are like screaming and crying, and Draco's fine because he's like, I ride a broom. Like this is like
Yeah, okay.
whatever. Like I go fast. Like this is fine. He's totally chill the whole entire time. He's like, can we go faster? Like this is
Yeah, where's
fine.
the bigger one? Is this
Yeah,
the biggest one or is there a
is that
bigger one?
it? Is that it? And then your silly Theo. There is also nothing I love more than a goofy ass unhinged Theo.
And
Like
he is.
yes, he's so good. Like I wish I would have written down some of the lines that you had in there for him. Like the one that sticks out for me was actually at the amusement park where they're like Theo picks the last ride and you have these options and he picks whatever Pansy does not want to go on.
Of course.
Like,
It's a water ride. Okay, that's my pick then.
that's it. That's it. And he's like, what? You can't dry yourself? Aren't you a witch? Like, what's wrong with you? I
Quit
want to go in that one
whining.
because you're
Yeah.
so opposed to it. That's the
Yep.
one I
The
picked.
water one is the choice. Let's go on the water ride.
How did you come up with the curse thing? The actual like backstory of the curse turned out to be so interesting.
I kind of stressed about it because I knew where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to get there. And I don't fancy myself the kind of writer like, is this self-care with, the Batmobile and
Right.
all the amazing magical and medical blend of things. Like I never consider myself to be that kind of innovative STEM writer. But, in the end, I guess it's kind of a spoilery thing, but they fix the curse. They're not really,
Right.
there is damage that it's causing, that she's been taking potions every day to kind of stave off physical deterioration. But there's also kind of a very specific sort of glamour attached to it, where it's making things seem different than it is. And it takes a very unique cohort of innovative minds to kind of figure out what's been going on with it and how to get rid of it altogether. I just thought mostly I wanted something that was life-threatening enough that it was going to change how she viewed her world.
Right.
The clock is running down. She spent 10 years looking for a cure, and she's finally having to accept that those 10 years might have just been her locked in a lab with nothing to show for it. And so she has a very reactionary spin to, well, if I can't do anything about it, then I want to live every single second that I
Right.
can and scoop in everything that I might have missed. And, while she's resigning herself to that, she's in this new, fresh, magical thing with Draco, and she realizes that she wants more of it. Like she finally is not as ready to give up as she thought she was.
Right.
And it makes her want to live. Not that she hasn't wanted to live, but she'd resigned herself maybe prematurely, and there's still more that can be done. I'd imagine more Lucius in the story when I sketched it out originally. I wanted there to be something where, Lucius offers to pay for the treatment, or, where there was some
Right.
kind of conflict with, Draco having to make a choice of, her health or having her, where Lucius says, I'll pay for it if you leave her.
Right.
Basically, and there is a bit of that late, but Draco's already committed to his course by that time. He's more just screwing with his father because his
Pretty
father's being a
much.
jerk,
Yes.
but I'd imagine something a little bit heavier, and maybe I'll write a different story like this where, Draco does have to make that choice, and Hermione learns that, he chose the money over her, basically over their relationship, and then he has to win her back somehow. He's got to really kind of earn his place back in her life. And I thought maybe that could have been what it means to live, but it didn't end up that way. Again, things just kind of take me where they want to go.
Honestly, I think it ended up the way that it should have. I mean, for me, in my little brain, I was like,
Thanks. The response to it has been good. No one ever says no, so it seemed to have gone okay.
I'm very satisfied with the ending and how it all came to be. And to that point of the only time really that Lucius is in the fic or the story at all is at that point where he comes to bring Septimus's painting to him because he's such an asshole. But him coming in and actually giving like the clue, he came in for a good reason. Like he came in to do, he didn't think it was a good thing. He thought he was
No.
like just, throwing some gas on the fire. But in
Right.
reality, he gave them the clue that they needed
Yeah,
in
he blows
order
open the
to,
secret
yes, he
without
blew it.
knowing it.
He was like, I'm gonna ruin this,
Yeah.
this woman can't be a part of the family. This is disgusting. Like, you got to stop this. And Draco's like, no, like,
Yeah,
but
he
I'm gonna
says,
lie to your
son, move
face.
on. She's dying. Move on, son. She's dying. You're wasting your time. And Draco's like, she's dying?
What?
What?
I thought
And
she
then
just,
it spurs the whole group effort to save her. And Lucius wasn't intending on that at all. But I
And
like
then,
that, it got thrown back in his face.
and also him, bringing things into the house, like it gave the keys to the solving the mystery,
Well, that was another Septimus where I hadn't really. Septimus was only supposed to be a portrait at their hotel in Amsterdam. It was supposed to be a funny coincidence that they happened to see a Malfoy ancestor hanging on the wall,
I'm
and he wouldn't go
sorry. He's
away.
the
He
star
wouldn't
of the
go
show.
away.
He's the
I
star of the
know.
show. This is a Septimus fic now. This
And
is
so
now.
Lucius comes in with a bagged up portrait from the manor saying, "Take him, this depraved maniac. I can't listen to him rave about you any longer."
Rave about the Shakespearean
Yes.
queen. The Shakespearean queen must reside in Malfoy Manor because she so Lucius is
comes to
the
bring Septimus's
rightful
portrait.
Mrs. Malfoy. Oh, God.
Get this guy out of my manor. I can't take it
And
anymore.
what
And
the fuck are you doing dating the mudblood? Like, why are you here?
And Draco,
She
of
is
course, throws him
beneath
out right
you.
away and
Oh,
is like, well,
God.
now I've got to go save my girl.
Yeah,
Of course.
now I'm gonna
So.
go buy a ring. Thanks, Dad.
And that was it for Lucius. I just needed him to, basically,
He
like you
just,
said, he's
yes.
trying to drop a grenade into the situation, and all he did was motivate his son
Yep.
and reunite Septimus with the crew. So, it was win-win.
Yes, and he gave us the beautiful Theodore Knott Septimus Malfoy relationship that we all love and
Not
cherish.
boy.
Not
Not
boy,
boy.
not
And
man.
don't
I
call
don't
me
think that's
not
coming.
boy. It's infantilizing. And Luna with you, I kept trying to decide, how can I make Luna, who works in the Department of Mysteries, how can I make Luna be Luna? And so I've got her, she's got a collection of a strand of everybody's hair doing
Yep.
Luna things with it, presumably. But then I had her speak entirely in haiku.
Yes.
And
Which, you know, it worked because you
it
can see
was
it.
difficult to write. I
I'm sure
count
it
the
was.
syllables. I was flicking fingers on my hand, like one, two, three, four, counting. And so many words are like technically a certain number of syllables, but you wouldn't think. And I
Right, but then
recently
you have to
had
think,
someone
like,
reach
what
out.
else?
I know. I can't just say two sentences. I've got to close it. So now I need another five syllables at the end because Luna can't be done speaking yet. It has to
Right.
be a haiku, And of course, Neville's the only one who picked up on it and tells everybody else, like,
Right.
by the way, did you notice? And then everybody starts paying a little more attention, like, oh yeah, she does, doesn't she? Huh. How about that? I had somebody reach out to me actually asking about translating it into Spanish. And of course I said, yes, I'm very excited to see kind of how
Right.
that goes and what it looks like. But I thought, oh, the syllable thing.
Huh.
I might have to work with, a native Spanish speaker to be like, this is what I was going for. Can you help me put these back in haiku format? Because
Maybe.
that was so much fun. I adore
Silliest
Luna.
little weirdo.
It was such a great story with so many people, a true ensemble at the end. And I just had so much fun with it.
I inhaled it because I knew I was going to be interviewing you today, and I was like, they're on my list, but the only one that I've read like fully was The 5 Months. And I was like, okay, well, I need to read more. So literally, I think the day before yesterday, I downloaded it onto my phone, and I had a very long work day yesterday, and I literally read it while I was at work.
I
Don't tell my boss.
will not. I will not. I promise.
But I did. And it was very fun to read at work while I'm literally walking around my place of work and laughing my ass off. And also being like trying to help customers in between smut scenes was
Of
very.
course. Of course. Yeah, what it means to live is it is definitely plot driven for sure. But half the
Yes.
point is the adventurous thing she's been missing out on. So
Right.
half the point is the adventurous sex.
And all
It
of
was a nice
the
blend.
shagging in bathrooms and
Oh, of course. Why not? We got to, if the urge
Oh,
strikes.
hold on. My other favorite topic, and we need time to discuss this.
Okay.
Fuck Ron Weasley.
I'm not an overt Weasley basher by nature. Like, I don't set out specifically, and maybe I'll write a story like that sooner or later, but in What It Means to Live, he is just kind of an asshole. I needed him to be something specific, and
Well,
he was.
he
So
fit the
as the
role.
ensemble goes, Ron was kicked out of the ensemble. He is not part, no
No,
part of it.
no part. That is one of those points of conflict that I always look for. Like, you know, people make fun of us as Dramione readers. They're like, how can you read the same story over and over again? And it's like, well, technically it's not the same story. It just kind of contains some of the same elements, but each of those things are painted in a different tone. Like, this one is black and white, this one's sepia, this one is cool color. Like, get out. But the Ron in this story is very conservative, very much wants a
Traditional.
relationship. Yes, very traditional,
Traditional.
wants to emulate the relationship of his parents. And I don't know if he kind of realized that how much sex his parents had to have in order to get all of those kids.
Well, they had sex six times. And one of them produced twins, and that was it.
That's it.
Six of six. Yeah,
That's
six of
it.
six
Yeah.
successes, and that was
And
it. That was all.
yes, there was, I mean, and it was each time it was very, very chaste. They did not take off their clothes. They were, no. So
Yeah, in the
yeah,
beginning, I definitely want, you know, he wants what his parents had and what is, you know, he wants the kind of
well,
wife
it's that
that, you know, Molly
comfort.
has
It's
been to
comfort.
Arthur. And there is nothing at all wrong with that. And I wanted
No.
to start out saying, like, they just want different things. Those are
Right.
both totally okay paths.
Yeah.
They're just not going to mesh well together,
They just
you know.
he yeah that that's where their relationship needs to come apart because you know
Right.
you yeah
This is no longer
not
compatible in the things that you want out of the world.
right.
Ron becomes more of a jerk a little bit later on when
Yes.
he sees her with Draco, you know, and
Right.
then it becomes very much,
Well,
this is not okay anymore. You know, you are being an asshole.
yeah. Well, I mean, he was an asshole before that because of the way that he was treating her, because of her voicing her wants and her needs
They
instead
were
of
not compatible at that point.
no.
It was
And,
done.
but also, like you explained it in the story, it was almost like he was shaming, he was like kink shaming her or
A
making
bit.
her, yes, making her feel like she was wrong for wanting to be experimental sexually. That wasn't a healthy relationship in his mind. And eventually, I mean,
He was
he
just
did. He,
appalled.
yeah, very, very appalled. Like she, you know, because she's saying like she wants him to tie her up, and he's like, "Why would I treat you like that?" And she's like, "That's how I
That's
want
not what
you
it's
to treat. That
about.
that's not what it's
Yeah, that's not
about."
what it's
Like
about.
he's like, you know, you're asking me to demean you and treat you badly. She's like, "No, I'm not. Like that's not it at all. I just want these certain things." But she didn't ever tell him the underlying reason,
No,
and so
she didn't.
she has culpability there too because you
She
know
does.
she
And she
was,
realizes that. She's like, you
yeah.
know, I should have been able to tell him, but it, you know, when you're 15 or 16, you don't want to talk about this damage
No.
to your stomach and your lady bits with your boyfriend when he gets the squicks when you talk about your period, you know, and then, you know, after the war, you know, you're not really thinking about getting married quite yet. It seems kind of
No.
premature maybe to talk about those things. And then after a while, you've been together so long, it's weird that you didn't bring it up.
Right.
You know, what are you supposed to do? Say year 7, oh, by the way, dear, this major thing happened to me, you know, that I've just never felt comfortable telling you. And so at some point she's like, she has to accept that in a healthy relationship, she would have told him.
Right.
And looking back, she's able to see that their relationship really didn't have the
Never.
foundation. It never
No.
had that kind of foundation from the start. So yeah, she had culpability for keeping it from him, and she sees that, but it was still
Yes.
not a viable relationship.
But for him, he had no right to come back and get angry and be such
He
a
was a
dick.
jerk. He was a
And
jerk.
props to Draco for talking mad shit to his face.
Of course. We've got to
And
give
also
Draco his moments. We have to. We can't help but.
not punching him. That was some
That was solid
restraint.
restraint. Yeah.
He showed emotional growth.
You know, it is kind of fun being able to write them as solid adults because they do have more control over those things. You get to really play to the impulsivity when you write them as, you know, 8th-year teenagers.
Oh yeah, especially in that high stress situation. Like they're not high stress anymore when they're 10 years post. Like
Right.
you're writing them when they're in the thick of it. Of course they're going to throw punches first. Of course they're going to throw curses
Right.
because that's where they're at. They are on like high wire. Any little wrong move could cost them anything, but they're also so hyped up on stress and anxiety about the whole entire situation that they're just like, everybody's wrong.
Right.
You guys can
Yeah,
all fuck
the
off.
adult dynamic to the teen dynamic definitely puts a different spin on the story, and it is really
Yeah.
fun to get to explore so many different avenues and places to take them and situations to put them in. But it's been a great journey writing. I've really, really loved. Again, I'm kind of new into it, but I
Yeah.
am full steam ahead. I've put out an amazing amount of words because I read, like I said, I'm just copious outpouring of word vomit. But I'm having so much fun doing it. You know, I don't see myself doing, you know, stopping anytime soon.
No. So when did you publish your first? Was it Memory Lane? Memory Lane?
Memory Lane was my
Yeah.
first, and I think I finished it close to a year ago. I think that was last
Okay.
March. And then I worked
Wow.
on a Vila Draco story. One of my first earliest commenters and encouragers was in love. She's a big Vila Draco fan, and there was a story on old FFN called Mine, and
Yes.
it's also set about 10 years post Hogwarts. She's a healer, and they've just discovered that Azkaban's been slowly being emptied of prisoners because they've been used for human experimentation by evil people who didn't think the Azkaban prisoners would be missed and are trying to do creature gene splicing into the prisoners. You know, there's a mix of, you know, newfound werewolves and vampires and things, that there's also one male Vila, and it happens to be Draco Malfoy.
I
And
am gagging right now.
He's been
I
in a coma, and he remains in a coma until she approaches his bed one day and gets a paper cut on her hand, and he smells her blood, and that he emerges from the coma and claims her immediately as mine. And she's like, "What the hell?" And so the original author, this was back in 2014, the original author took it quite far and then abandoned it. And I was unable to find any mention of their username, their pseudonym on any
Oh, so
social, on any other
yeah.
platform, on any, it's as if they stepped out into the street and
And got
dropped
hit
into
by
a
a bus.
sinkhole. Anything just vanished off the face of the earth. So this commenter, my first real encourager, she was begging me. I was like, I don't really know what to do next. And she was like, would you consider picking up this abandoned story? And there is some tricky etiquette around that, which
Right, of
at the
course.
time I really didn't fully understand the nuances of, but on this one especially, this person has been gone for over 10 years now. And if they were ever to come back and say, hey, I don't like what you did, I'd pull it down immediately.
Right.
But
But also, I
I've had
found this on the
so
side of the
many
road.
people, right? I've had so many people
Finders
message me and
keepers.
email me and say, thank you for giving me closure. This has been one of my favorites for a decade. Thank you, thank you, thank you for actually finishing it off in a
So
satisfactory way.
what is the title of this?
Mine.
Oh, you also called it
Mine.
mine.
Well, I did it mine, and then I did a little dash, I shot at the finish, just like trying to,
Oh,
because the original is on FFN. And so it's not even on AO3. I started from where they left off and picked it up on AO3. So you can find it in my profile. But that was the second thing, the second real thing that I did was, Vila Draco. And then I started writing just kind of some smaller stuff. I think 5 months, What It Means to Live was last summer into last fall. I wrote 5 months when AO3 went down and I had some spare time. Whoops. And that kind of flowed naturally into, 3 months left and then out of time and then out of time in the Horcrux hunt. It's a very dark time. I try to keep the story light as possible, but it is a dark time. It's a stressful time. And especially when they're in the tent with the Horcruxes and everything's miserable and everybody's snappy, that's when I started writing Private Tutor because I needed a mental vacation on something hilariously, embarrassingly funny. So that's where Private Tutor picked up.
It
And so now
is.
the two active ones are Out of Time, which posts on Mondays, and Private Tutor, which posts on Fridays. That's my journey. It's been a little over a year. It's been wild.
That is so, it's so funny. I just talked to Lady Ursa last weekend, and kind of the same thing. Like just this incredible amount of work just pouring out in a very relatively short amount of time. The quality of it, I was like, are you shitting me? Like I
There's
find
so
like
much talent in this fandom. It's wild.
That's why I love
It's
doing this
wild.
I love doing this podcast. It is so much fun because I just get to meet and talk to like the most creative people. And even though we're all dealing with the same subject, everybody has their own spin and their own flavor. It's just so much fun as a whole, as a project, as being a participant in the community, learning, reading, meeting people. It's just like it has been so much fun to do.
I haven't dipped my toe into any of the other fandoms at all. I know people
Me
have different
either.
experiences here and there. I'm a
Okay, so
100% Dromione fandom person. I've got no comparison point. This is all I know.
I've read like a one-off here and there of other things,
Yeah,
and
I'll do the rare pair stuff here and there. Sometimes it's fun, little one shots and things, but I don't immerse myself into any of the other
no,
fandoms at all. I
and
know
I
no
mean
social groups, nothing.
like the Marauders fandom is huge. I haven't been tempted away yet. Who knows? We'll leave the
Who
door open.
knows?
We'll leave that door wide open for, opportunities for sure. I'm never going to be like, no, I'll never read anything again. But at this point, I don't know. I think I said it in another podcast. I read like a regularly published book and I was fully underwhelmed. Like it just doesn't do it. Like it doesn't hit the same. I'm like, I don't know these people. Fuck these guys.
Easy when you sit down to know and everything already feels familiar. These people feel like your neighbors, your friends. You know
I
them.
want to
It
read
is
about
different.
them.
That's right.
It's
It's
almost like
different.
that. It's almost like the General Hospital of it all. Like you, it's been running for 30 years. You know the people. You know, like, oh, what's going to happen
Exactly.
today? Who's going to fucking backstab somebody today? Who's going to rob a bank? Like, who's going to get pregnant? Who's going to come back to life? Like, why is he in a
It's
coma?
amazing.
Like.
It's amazing. I'll say is writing, it's so much easier to write characters that you're familiar with too. Trying to write original characters is very, very hard. Trying to build out that backstory and make them feel familiar to you. Like you know what they're going to say in any given situation. Dialogue with our favorites comes so naturally. You know what they're going to say. You know how they would react. It just flows. And with a new person, with a new character, getting to that point is often the hardest part for me anyway. Getting to where I know the other characters as well as I know these and making the process feel just as organic. It's hard. Yeah, I give published authors with new stuff all the credit, man. It
Oh,
is
God, yeah.
difficult to sit down from scratch and just bring something to life.
Yeah, from an idea that could have been jumped on from something that already existed, you know, like any of the fan fiction authors that are becoming published with their reworked stories, or just any fan fiction author that's already written to one genre or to one fandom and then kind of wildly goes outside of that and writes a fully original piece because the chops are there to support it. Like you understand the talent, you understand the process, you understand. That's why fan fiction is fucking great.
It is amazing.
Because it gives, we can just go out there and just fuck around.
Well, that's it. It's a creative outlet.
Yes.
You know, it could be serious, it could be fun. I could be working through trauma. I could be wanting
Right.
to share something horribly embarrassing and finally be able to laugh about it. There could be any number of things.
Yeah.
It's anything and everything all at once, depending on what you want to sit down and write that day. And from the reader's perspective, whatever you want to try to find, there's something out there.
Oh,
There's
God, yeah.
something like it,
Oh, yeah.
you know, and anything anywhere. If you want to find a Hermione that does this and this with that person, all three filters, you can pop them in there and you'll
Yep.
find something. Someone somewhere has done it. It's
Okay, so
amazing.
what's your favorite tags? Like, what are the ones that you're like, I will go here?
It's not a popular tag necessarily, but the one that lives rent-free in my brain is Schrodinger's Ethics from Dematmobile. I saw that and died laughing. That was just such a tongue-in-cheek science thing, and I absolutely flailed when I saw it. I was like,
I
this is
wonder, what do
ingenious.
you get when you plug that in?
I don't even know, because that's the only one that I want to read with it, but I saw that for the first time and I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. So yeah, there's always some good ones. I do, you know, I love any of the ones that say, you know, Theo not as a little shit. Anything
Yes.
that's got, I'm obviously landing on some snark here and I love it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Theo. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, just knowing I try to find things that are amusing when I can. I think life is hard enough and stressful enough. And while I love a good angsty piece and I have been
Right.
swallowed whole by some dead doves,
Oh,
absolutely.
God.
Mostly what I sit down to read is things that are going to make me laugh to myself. You know,
Yes.
I'm looking for the
I need
humor.
to
I'm
giggle.
looking for Exactly. I want something light and enjoyable to pass the time most of the time. You
Right.
know, things ebb and flow, but I'm here for the humor.
What do you think? What's your favorite one that falls into that category?
I mean, Dematmobile
Of
obviously is
course.
hilarious. I have loved Chaos and Crumpets
Oh,
stuff.
God.
It's so stinking funny.
She, they're
I
so
mean,
good. They're so
oh
good.
God. And there's it's really hard to pick. I mean, it really is hard to pick, but it's
Have you read
that's what
Divination for Skeptics?
I haven't, but when you told me about that Lucy Junior, I'm gonna have
You,
to I wrote a little note here. I'm gonna
I
have to
think
find it.
that's what it's from. I can't remember exact because I've
Oh, I
read,
hope
I mean,
so.
like, it's
I hope
disgusting how
so.
much I've read. I really need to find out where Lucy Jr. came from, but I'm guessing it was Divination for Skeptics. But that is, I mean, if you like funny, if you like humor, if you like gassing people up, like shit talking, silly ass Theo, like great banter between all of the characters, like Divination for Skeptics, high on the list.
I am going to pop right to it when we hang
Oh,
up.
do it. It's one of those matchup picks. So
Nice.
I think it's one of the Weasley twins. I don't remember if it's Fred or George. I don't remember who, if they're both alive in this AU or not. Pretty sure it's George invents this. It's almost like a percentage scale. So it's like matchups. So like, who are you compatible with? It's a compatibility
Okay.
score. And
Okay.
it's
I
like
like that.
on you can see it on your hand. So it's like a charm. So when you walk into like, and you walk into the room and you like look at you, like somebody's hand like comes next to you, it tells you how compatible you are based on your answers and their answers. Like it kind of gives you a range. Of course, you know, Hermione's looking for somebody who's 100% compatible. Like that, it's there's nothing less than 100%.
Of
And
course.
so she's only like 30 or 40% compatible with Ron, so that ruins their relationship.
Oh, immediately.
But then her and Draco get together. And they're originally like 10% compatible because they're both so at odds with each other. But every interaction they have, their compatibility grows.
Oh, funny.
Nobody else's does. Everybody else's compatibility stays the same. And
I
so,
love it.
oh, it is so good. And they like the characters, they're so good. You're gonna die.
I'm gonna hop right to it. I
Now,
love it.
this has just become a Divination for Skeptics PSA. So yeah.
Hey, part of what makes this fandom great is recommending things that aren't
Oh
right at the
yeah.
top of everybody's list. I want to
Right?
hear about the stuff that, and I've heard about Divination for Skeptics. You know, I'm not completely foreign to it, but
Right.
getting these recommendations that aren't just the same five regurgitated all over the place,
Right?
that's part of why I want to do stuff like this. So
Yes.
I love it. Give me that. Give me anything else you got. I'm making notes.
I'll have to put another one. There's another one in there. I cannot remember the name of it right now. It's another matchup compatibility one, and it is so fucking funny. There's another one that's just they're so silly. I love those. I love a marriage law fic. That trope is so great. Like that tag, marriage law, AU is
Yeah,
those are so
we're gonna
fun.
force you together. Force proximity in a
Ah,
different
I love
way.
it.
It
It's
is.
so
It
fun.
is.
It's yeah, some of the best ones are like that, where you're just like, well, let's see what these fools are gonna do.
I can't think of a tag necessarily that pertains to it, but back to the divination thing, sort of. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about doing a kind of a, not a divination style, but almost a, it's been foretold that you will meet your mate here at this
Oh
time. And she's like,
yeah.
sure,
Okay.
okay. Okay, you know, because she is such a skeptic of it.
Right.
And I do love in canon, she is judgmental. She's very
Yeah.
set in preconceived assumptions. And I
Yeah.
love it when a story shows her that she's wrong. Make divination real. Make that a real thing. Make
Yeah.
her eat her words. You know, I love the creativity that can kind of just spawn from that of making her backpedal and realize that, wait a second, that snap judgment wasn't fair. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can't think of a tag that goes along with that, but I love it when authors do that, where it's like, no, you were kind of a judgmental shrew on occasion, and we're going to show you that divination is 100% real, and you were wrong. It's just astounding to me, being relatively new to it, of seeing how many people are in the fandom. And I know this is one of the larger fandoms, not just Harry Potter, but
Right.
overall, you know, on AO3, this is one of the top. Seeing the number of authors, the number of readers, the amount of talent, the words produced, the stories published, even just one shots, like what people are constantly publishing things. It's
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
amazing to me. It's incredible to see the output of what people are doing. I
Yeah,
mean, I'm just floored.
so right now there are 27,033 works in the Hermione Granger slash Draco Malfoy relationship tag.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
27,000. I think in the whole of a Harry Potter, it's like over 300K plus. But
Probably.
that includes all ships,
Of course. Yeah, of course.
all pairings, all of that. But yeah, 27,000. That's a pretty awesome group to be
That is
in.
awesome.
And I
It's
count
been an
you.
amazing community.
I count you among one of my favorites.
Well,
So,
thank you. I'm so
yeah.
glad. I'm glad you stumbled on my stuff. I'm glad you reached out. This has been a lot of fun. I've never done this before, but I'm very happy to
Yeah.
help. And I know, you know, this podcast is relatively new, so I hope I'm helping you too. I hope
Oh
we're both
yeah,
good.
for
We're both getting
sure.
help.
Like I said earlier, it's been so much fun to start this project and to have the ability to come in with a different style. I know a lot of the podcasts that are out there, mostly audio fics or, you know, people just discussing their fics, but to like get an author's perspective and go through their particular works and like what makes them tick and what made them decide to do these things is something that I wanted to listen to. So just like you know, you set out to write the story that you wanted to read, I set out to make the podcast that I wanted to listen to. And I'm
I love it.
so excited to see where it goes. And I'm so happy that you were among one of the first to be here. So
Me too. This has
congrats.
been so cool. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes. All right, well, guys, we are going to end up for this week. Go out there, read some goddamn Hermione, leave some kudos, make some comments, be nice, and yeah, thanks. Bye.